Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. This podcast was recorded live from the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course channel. We stream every Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and try to cover many topics in amateur radio. Consider supporting us through patreon.com/Hosh Nasi, which is Hotel Oscar Sierra Hotel, Nevada Alpha Sierra India. Without further ado, let's get started.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Ham Radio... Wait, hold on.
Oh, that's better. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. I am Josh, KI6NAZ. Thanks for coming on in. Got a lot of people in the house today for some Ham Radio Q&A. Picked up a lot of new hams, so hopefully it's going to be a good little show. Hope you brought your questions, but if not, I've got a lot of questions that I've been collecting, and we'll open the phone lines up and we'll do some calls for those that want to call in. So yeah, in the meantime, listen to my buddy Sonic D here with that opening song. I love this song. I used this so much when I was vlogging every day. Whew. Hey, we got Corey, Wyoming Ham. I saw Chris. Thanks, Chris, for coming in. I got Rob. So many people. I saw Carol and Bruce, too. Very cool. So what is up, everybody? Again, I am Josh, KI6NAZ. This is the Ham Radio Crash Course weekly live stream. Try to do this on Fridays, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time when I can. And what we're trying to do, the whole idea of the YouTube channel and the Facebook group and the Discord and all the other places that we go is we're trying to push for inclusivity, not exclusivity in amateur radio, trying to bring more people into the hobby and basically just be welcoming of questions. There are so many instances where people ask questions or they go places and they have a not too great experience. That's not to say that the people that are providing that sometimes not great experience aren't coming from a good place and have a good heart. It's just sometimes it gets lost in the message. Anyway. This is the Ham Radio Crash Course again. Thank you so much for coming. So just a reminder, we do a Discord live after chat, and it's a voice chat and a text chat if that is so inclined to do so. Take the link that Ethan just posted to the Discord, and we'll be doing it right after the stream. We'll just go right over there, and I usually stream that to, well, I've started streaming that to Twitch now, so you can watch me over on Twitch, and I am Angry Shoverbot on Twitch. So if you'd like to follow me on that, please do, Sue. That would be great. That is a holdover from my gaming days. But I love the name so much, I don't want to get rid of it. So, yeah, and anyway, we've got the Patreon if you guys are interested. It's $1 to get started. It gets you access to my newsletter. And it just so happens that I'm taking last year's newsletter and I'm going to collect it into an ebook and I'm going to start putting it out on Amazon. So for those of you that don't want the newsletter once a month, you can just get it in one shot. And bam, it's pretty easy peasy. So got a couple of news items. Nothing that great. And we're going to go right into the nothing that involved, I would say. It is great, though. So the first one, got a big shout out. Got a shout out to Chris Marauder on Discord, on the Discord. I was told, a little fairy told me, that he has been awesome at helping answer a ton of questions, and it's been appreciated by the people he has helped. So big thank you to Chris Marauder. Someone named Marauder being so helpful. That's awesome. Yeah. Anyway, also big thanks to BridgeCom Systems for providing that Anytone 878. We did pick a winner. Thank you, everybody, for getting involved in doing that. We will have probably another giveaway next weekend, and I'll figure out how I want to do it. In fact, I think it's going to be a ham shack contest. And that's just show me your radio. It's not like build a ham shack, and if you don't have a ham shack, you can't play. It's just, you know, show me pictures of your shack. So we'll figure that out. It'll be on Facebook and Discord. So make sure you're on both those things. The links are in the description, and Ethan's been posting the link, so check that out for sure. And let's see. Quirky QRP should be back. Quirky QRP, you know the guy that does the cool little transmitter, keychain transmitter. He has a $5 coupon for HRCC, and it is Quirky QRP HRCC when you go to his Etsy, which I should post that. I'll figure that out and get it in the description. But if you search for Quirky QRP, all one word, it'll come up. The Brew Crew, for all my Brew Crew buds in the house, buds and budettes. Anyway, I will be putting a massive update to the beer review list out very soon. I have a ton that I need to post, and so we will be doing that soon. So if you're interested in following my beer recommendations today, we've got a really good one that I'm really excited about trying out. Yeah, go check me out on the Brew Crew. That's a Patreon thing. So let's see. Oh, man, we've already got a ton of questions coming in, so that's great. Let's see. Who do we got in the chat? giveaway on the Yaesu FT3R. Whew, man, Craig. Well, man. John asks, will I be getting a FT3DR? I'll definitely be getting my hands on one to review. I've got to do that at least. I don't know that I will be buying one, but we'll check that out. We will look into that. Got 119 people watching the stream right now. I really appreciate it. If you could give me a thumbs up, that does help me out a ton. So, basically how we do the Q&As is pretty open format. It's just you can post your questions in the chat, and when things slow down, I just pull up some of the ones I've got, and that's pretty much it. And I've got a ton of them, so that's going to be pretty easy. So let's switch over to that guy. All right. Let's see. So let's take one right off the top of the list, and then I'll come back to the ones in the chat. Because this is a good one, and I got asked this a ton, so I'll just take care of this right now. Home Depot says, I saw the video you did on the Modern Rogue. Awesome. I love that video. They did amazing editing. I was so impressed with their skills. What equipment would I need to do just that? Antenna, hardware, software, all I have now is a UV-5R. So that is a great question. Let me go to the overhead camera really quick. I did set up a little bit because I'm going to try and live answer some of these as we go. Pay no attention to the boxes. And yes, I'll illuminate the call-in for anybody that wants to call in right now. I'll be taking your calls. So what I used was an SDR Play dongle. An SDR, which is a really just a simple little USB box with an SMA connector, and I used an adapter to an Chameleon MCOM3, and that worked game busters. And I actually used that for the next videos that are coming out hopefully soon with the Modern Rogue guys. And this is the antenna I used for the whole thing. The reason I packed this is it's bigger for like you Soda QRP guys, a little bit bigger, but it's great for you portable 100 watts radio guys because you can pack that in a bag very easily. I carried it in my carry-on. TSA didn't bug me about a bunch of wire at all. They bugged me about other things, but not the antenna. I will also open my beer. I jumped right in. I got so excited to answer these questions, but let's jump into a beer to give me something to drink because it's hot in the garage. I got an Acoustic Ales Brewing Experiment. This is a unplugged turkey. This is a chocolate oatmeal stout that is aged in wild turkey barrels. So, interesting. So, let's see. Yeah. Also, I got some QSL cards. I did that whole thing on the QSL Bureau, and that's actually what this is. This is a Bureau envelope. It came in the mail like right after I posted that video. I was like, man, what a bummer. I should have waited to have that. I wish I had known I was getting it. So we're going to look at those real quick because I got a couple of really good ones that I'm kind of proud of. So let's leave it on the overhead real quick, and I'll be looking at the screen for questions. Let me slide over here. So something like that. It's good. Okay, so this is the envelopes you get from the Bureau. This was sent to my PO box. So got a EA8WU. That's pretty cool. Printed on both sides. These are mostly Japanese stations. Look at the way they do their QSL card. Pretty interesting. It's all the same kind of format. It's vertical aligned. And this is a really cool one. Kind of a traditional Japanese painting. JA2INL. This one, Osaka, Japan. JF3VAX. This is just a plain one. Japanese. JJ2QWN. This was on FT8. This was on FT8. That looks like Mount Fuji in Tokyo. And JJ1SBO. Cool. That's very cool. I love that. Tokyo, Japan, J1MGHT. I can basically throw a rock and hit Tokyo, apparently. Oh, this one. Okay. This one's really good. This one's Korean. HL4CJG. I want you to look at the back of this. He's in his car, and he's staring at a YL, I guess. And, yeah. And he's going to run into that light pole. That was funny. That was a good one. And This is a Icon IC780JE3FWP. And last one, I got a, this is from, where is he? Hungary. Yeah, HA7TM. So I'm pretty proud of the Hungary one. That's very cool. And I like the Korean one too. That was very cool. So, okay, that's all I really needed to show you on the overhead. So we can go back to me sitting down and enjoying a little relaxing stream here. So thanks so much for watching, everybody, and tuning in. Appreciate it. So yeah, again, if you want to know more details on how the QSL cards work, or getting your own QSLs, getting started on that, and possibly you're using the Bureau, I did an overview last week, so make sure to check that out. And yeah, I like I said, I can throw a rock and hit Japan, so that is what I did. Okay, let's check the chat really fast. I got a couple of questions. Donald says, come in and send Bob a whole box of goodies to try out. Yeah, I think I got a box a little bit before him of those goodies. I got to go look what he got. I didn't look, but I've been playing around with the Chameleons for a while. I did a video already on the MCOM 3 base, which I really, really like. The base station is actually what I'm using a lot of the time on my radios because it's a really good NFED, half-wave NFED. So big recommendation on that. Real quick, let me show you the... The SDR plays are available on Ham Radio Outlet, and the wire antenna is available on Chameleon Antennas for $139. That's a pretty good price. All right, G5RV. Tom D. Mail, or Mamiel, says, any tips for dealing with RFI? So, need a bit more of a specifics. If you're talking about like ground loops and stuff like that, I posted a really simple video on dealing with SHAT ground loops earlier in June. And basically, you need to ground all your devices and the loop that are connected to your radio. So I had my radio connected to a laptop. That laptop is connected to its charger. And the radio is connected to a power supply. And those two AC voltages, right, going into the power supply, going into the charger, which is also a power supply, and then into the laptop and into the radio, and then connecting those two led to this ground loop. So first thing to do is isolate all your ground issues, right, on the shack, and then start exploring around the home looking for RFI. And the easiest way to do that is to shut off all the breakers in the house, run your shack off of a battery, and then go breaker by breaker, turning them on, turning them back on one at a time until you find the breaker that the interference is coming from. Then it's just a go around and pull a plug until you find the offending plug. And then you can either modify the device, changing some components in it. You can put a ferrite bead, wrap the cord around a ferrite bead. You can try that. Not always the greatest, most effective way, but that's certainly a way of dealing with shack RFI or RFI coming into your computer. I really, really strongly recommend everybody, even if you're not having an RFI problem, get your radio on a battery. Get it on a battery and shut all the power off in your house and just see what the noise floor drops to. If you're like happy at an S4 type of person, pull the power and see if you don't drop down further. And if you drop down further, then you really owe it to yourself to go around and try and find anything that could be adding to an RFI problem. All right. Alice Ramirez asks, what do you think about the Yaesu 450? I like the Yaesu 450. I think it's a solid entry-level radio. I did a video talking about some entry-level radios, and that was one of the ones that made the cut, largely because it's not bad for the price point, and it comes with a tuner. Now, I am a strong advocate of using resonant antennas. I like to have people use resonant antennas, but when they can't, I'd much rather them be on the air or attempt to be on the air than not. So tuners are generally a pretty good place to be, right? Oh man, we got a K8MRD in the house. Thanks so much for hopping in. All right, cool. So let's go down to the bottom here. Nathaniel Chu asks, are you going to sell the extra logo as a sticker? So I have stickers for my logo, technician, and general. And I had a way for people to buy them, and I didn't really sell any. And so that's no big deal. I just figured I'd give them away to patrons at some point. Oh, we got a caller. Let's see. So we'll look into that. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Oh, hi there.
How's it going?
Hi there. How are you doing? Jesus.
Very good. It's a grandpa from a Family Guy called in.
Well, hi there. Yeah.
Do you have a question?
How are you doing? Well, I was wondering where all the young boys are.
So this is Justin WD8EHT, correct?
I got busted.
You thought I don't keep studious records on people who've called into the past, do you?
How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing? Well, you got a question for us?
I'm doing pretty good. I was just checking out your QSL cards. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you for that. You have. Are you, Go ahead.
I don't have your video plan, but I was just gonna say I've gotten a couple of myself QSL cards. They're pretty neat.
Oh yeah, I love collecting QSL cards.
Yeah. Any tips for getting? I guess getting them more. I guess I'm not very good at. It seems getting. I've offered people to get them, and I send them out, and I just don't seem to really get anything back from people when I send them out.
Oh, okay. So you have sent them out? You've sent them directly to people?
Yeah, I've sent them out. Yep.
Have you worked with the QSL manager or a QSL bureau, or are you sending directly to the person?
I send directly to the person. Do you send through a QSL bureau or something?
So what I do, and I mentioned this last week, so I don't want to rehash a lot of what I did last week, but if you go watch that video, one of the things I recommend is first pull up the contact on QRZ. Pull up the call sign there and see if they even accept QSL cards. A lot of times, people have started to kind of go away from QSL cards, and they only want a QSL via Logbook of the World or eQSL or QRZ.com. So pull them up on QRZ. Did I say QRZ or was I saying something else? It should be QRZ, but pull them up on QRZ.com and see if they're accepting them. They might not be.
So what you want to look for is on QRZ and see if they're, what's your call sign there, Josh?
KI6NAZ. In fact, I think I can pull this.
KI6NAZ. Okay, I got it up. So where would I look on the bottom of it? See if you got anything that says, I'm looking for, QSL cards. You got it right there.
Yeah, so it should be auto-populated. If you scroll down somewhere in here.
I'm probably going to have to log in here.
Yeah, you probably have to log in. It's somewhere in there. Yeah. Maybe it's because I'm not logged in right now. But yeah, it should mention it. Logbook detail. Anyway, if you go to QRZ, you can see more about that and follow what it is that that person would be interested in.
Yeah. Yeah, I nice antennas, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Nice. Appreciate that. All right.
What is the one on the bottom?
What's that?
The one on the bottom, you have, it looks like it's got two beams. Is that a dipole?
The one on the bottom with the two arms that spread out, that's the MFJ Big Ears. Yeah. I used that on Field Day 2018. Works great.
What is it called? MFJ
Big Ears.
Oh, Big Ear. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got another caller, Justin, so I'm going to hop out here and I'll talk to you. Hop over in the Discord after the show and we'll talk.
All right, sounds good.
All right, buddy.
All right, have a
good
nice night.
Good work on the soundboard.
All right,
see you, buddy.
Thanks.
Oh, come on. Hey there, got another caller. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Chris.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. I got a quick question for you. I'm new to this, so I'm first time looking into ham radios, and I'm about to purchase through Amazon the Buffum UV5R UHF VHF dual band two-way radio.
Yep.
And in order to programming this, I did see one of your old videos. That's how I came in tune to you. I just subscribed to your channel.
Hey, thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Is it that hard to program these once I go? I found you because I was looking into the VTEC PC03 FTDI, the genuine cord.
Yeah. The FTDI cord is required.
So is that a good purchase to combine? Because I'm ordering the 5-unit, I think $119 on Amazon. So
okay, so
I should buy the cord separate, right?
Here's my tip on that. A lot of times, some of the companies will try to bundle in programming cables with Baofengs. They're not the legit FTDI cable. So you can make it work, but I don't recommend it. I'd rather just pay the $19, $20, whatever, buy the legit FTDI cable, and you're going to be much happier in the long run doing that. It's much easier. And then once you have that, yes, it's very easy to program with Chirp. I have, I think, 3 or 4 videos up just programming through Chirp. It's very easy, very straightforward.
So I can look at some of your old videos and tune in and just watch it and take it step by step, right?
Oh, yeah. If you type in Baofeng programming on YouTube, I'm sure I am going to be in the top 5, if not the top 1 or top 2.
Gotcha, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. Got it.
Okay, got it. Excellent.
I'm glad. And then you're here in California, right?
I'm in Cerritos, California. Yep.
Cerritos, okay. I'm in the San Fernando Valley, so I'm here in California also, so.
Yeah, cool. I'm east of LA. Yeah, I'm right by Anaheim.
Got it. Cool. So I'm definitely going to go through some of your your stuff and just try to see. And I'm ordering this. I'm supposed to be getting this on Sunday, so I'll go from there. If anything, I'll definitely tune back in and call you back when you're live and all that. So
yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Well, I mean, hop into the Discord after chat if you want to. That's a really easy way because I'm just one guy. There's lots of other really smart people too that hop in. So yeah.
Got it. Will do.
All right, Chris. Good talking to you. See ya.
Good talking to you, Thomas.
So I would like to point out, Justin clarified in the chat, that was not a soundboard, by the way. That was my real voice. That's fantastic. That was really good. That was high quality. So anyway, back to the question here. Modern Rogue covered it with the SDR. There we go. What am I doing? Okay, so antenna. So in follow along with what we did with Modern Rogue. The antenna goes up, is it one cable or two? Then does that plug into the SDR play, then that to a laptop, then boot up the software and you're rolling? Pretty much you nailed it. Basically, you just throw the antenna into a tree, you connect the antenna to the SDR play, you connect the USB to the computer. Ideally, you're going to want to connect the USB to the computer after loading drivers if your SDR requires it. The SDR play, I believe, is pretty driver resistant, and it works if you just plug it in. And then you use a software like SDR Uno. SDR Uno is the software made by SDR Play, and that's pretty much all you need to get running. Let's see. Here's a good one. So, hey, Josh, I follow all your... Another SDR question. Very good for new hams, by the way, to look into SDRs. I follow your YouTube videos and seen where you talked about these or similar, thinking of buying these from Amazon. He's talking about the SDR. Either one or both. Thank you for what you do for Ham Radio, KN6AAH. So he's looking at the RTL SDR or the new Alec NE SDR smart bundle. So I made that SDR video with the RTL SDR. And people have asked me like, hey, why don't you really recommend that anymore? It's not that I think it's bad. I don't think any of these are bad. But the new Alec NES DR is nice because the form factor is so small, they don't take up much space in your USB ports. The advantage of that is, what will likely happen once you start going down the SDR rabbit hole is you will look into trunking. And to do a proper trunking SDR system, you're going to need 2 SDRs. And you want to do 2, stacked, ideally stacked next to each other. That is the way to really set that up. So having 2 that you can put together, very, very easy to do with that. So that's why I recommend the new Elect. And it's specifically for that. If you don't care about doing trunking, then don't worry about it. But a lot of people do when they start getting into SDRs. They're like, hey, what can I do with this? I want to run a scanner. And Bob's your uncle. You're all of a sudden in trunking. So use it while you can, because, oh boy, we're running into times where encryption is going to be the norm. So before I go to the next one, somebody asked, how do I like the beer? It kind of tastes like Wild Turkey. It's a imperial stout that is aged, chocolate oatmeal stout that is aged in Wild Turkey barrels. Yeah. And there's kind of a, if you've ever drank Wild Turkey before, which I don't necessarily recommend it, it is got a bite to it. And this has that bite. It's got that flavor. All right. Next one. I'm a new name looking at a shack. What do I need? Everyone knows about the radio and the antenna, but what other things that aren't talked about? You could make a serious ton of videos just in this topic alone. So I will try to give you a couple of ideas, and then you can go from there. You will likely need a power supply. A power supply is going to be something that will be required for running a shack. You will likely want, although maybe you won't need, maybe you'll convince yourself you don't want it, and that's fine if you don't, but right here, where is it? Right where my finger is a tuner, that's a power supply, that's a 7300, and above that is a rotor for my antenna. So those are all things you may need just for the shack. What a lot of other people do is they also add, and I don't have mine on board yet, I gotta move it in here, is a atomic clock or a UTC-based clock. Those are extremely nice for a shack, and I highly recommend you look into an atomic clock. Those make doing contacts really easy. At that point, once you start getting more comfortable with using your shack, finding things that you like, you start to look into maybe foot pedals to activate your PTT, better microphones, better speakers, because depending on how your radio is configured, you may not want to use the stock speaker, or you want something with a bit better audio quality, so you may get an external speaker. The foot pedal is great because then you just click the foot pedal and you can rag chew all day. Zach has great ideas. Power supply, tuner, coax switch. Great point, Zach. That is a really good point. Coax switch is vital because you're going to start playing around with antennas, and man, that's going to be really, really helpful. And a dummy load, also very, very helpful. Lots of USB cables, and specifically, you're going to want, ham radio will revive your need to have the A and B USB connectors. These guys are mandatory for connecting to a radio. I don't know what it is. They won't let those things die. You got to have A and B connectors. I would also throw an SDR into that. You can't do wrong by having an SDR in your shack and maybe an antenna that is just there for listening. Maybe something, so if you have, so let's say you have two switches, right? You have one switch that goes to an NFED and to a vertical, and then you have another switch that goes to a radio and an SDR. You can now switch antennas and switch radios. That's great. So you can switch between your SDR, for example, or just have your SDR always connected, and you can have that on the NFED, or you can have that on the vertical. All kinds of options. So that's a wonderful idea. Don N5SKT asked, Josh, do you recommend a directional antenna for a new ham? Yes and no. If you fully understand what it is you're getting and what it is you're losing, a directional antenna allows you to kind of focus your power a little bit more and kind of get it to where you're going in a low solar cycle. That's not such a bad thing. Often times, though, when you're talking about directional antennas, you're talking about a lot of cost. So for someone that's new, I generally recommend they pick, maybe make two antennas, a dipole in 40 and 20. Maybe make a fan dipole, right, with a leg on 40, legs on 40 and legs on 20. And then use that. Make sure they're cut. Make it real easy. And have fun with that. And then start to think about directional antennas. So, oh, we got a caller. Hang on, caller. Here we go. Thanks, Loyal. Caller. What is your name? Oh, wait. They went away. We got another one. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's your name?
This is James.
James. How you doing, James? Well, do you have a question?
Yeah. Harsh, is this you, bro?
This is me. You're live on the air, buddy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Have a technician license,
right,
and I'm looking for advice for studying for the general test coming up in September.
Okay. So, Ed, how are you studying right now, if at all?
Just the book and the a couple apps online.
Okay.
I mean, on the phone.
Yeah, so I like hamstudy.org. Good friends of the Ham Radio Crash Course. They do good stuff. I really like the test-taking apps that are on your phone. I feel that even if you don't really know the material that well, taking practice tests will point out the sections of the test that you need to focus on. There's going to be some parts of the test that you can say, I can limp through this, or I'm good enough that I don't need to bother with it. And then you can really focus on the areas that give you problems.
Is it a huge step up from technician to general?
It is not.
In all honesty,
yeah.
When I took the technician test,
yeah,
my brother-in-law kind of said, hey, let's go take this ham radio test. And I was like, sure. And I was like everybody else, worried about it.
Yeah.
And didn't study for it. I winged it and I passed it.
Okay.
General, is it a huge step up?
Well, let me ask you, what's your background? Are you in the technical field or an engineer or somewhere in that space?
I work in the operating room. I'm clueless when it comes to ham radios.
Okay. So it is a step up. Technically, it is a step up. They're going to ask you more questions on circuitry and components, and there's going to be more practical science in what and how radio works. I don't feel any of that is nearly as difficult as going from general to extra is. I have a series of videos on getting your general that makes it, I think, fun.
Yeah, and I've been watching. I've been seeing those.
Yeah. Take a look. Post a comment. Let me know what you think. I don't think going from tech to general is that big of a jump, but it will be a big jump for those of you that aren't as technically inclined, I feel.
Okay. I am definitely putting work into it this time around. And one other thing is the new test questions that are coming out.
Yeah.
Should I be worried about that at all, or...?
You should be worried, but not that much. So most of the major online sources will update. Generally, what happens is they will take some questions off and put some questions on. And you're talking 50, 60, 70 questions will change out of the entire pool of questions. And generally, they're doing that because they're changing with the times. Like, they'll include more digital questions, for example.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's good to know. All right. That's all I had.
Oh, Zach, one of the admins in the chat, says that he thinks the new pool is out, if you want to take a look at it. So, oh, and HamStudy, someone else said HamStudy.org already updated. So there you go.
Oh, awesome. All right. Sounds good, bro.
Right on. Well, thanks, James, for calling in. I appreciate it.
No worries. Hey, cheers, by the way.
Hey, appreciate it. 7-3.
All right, 7-3.
So we got somebody in 10 subscribers without videos. This says here from Modern Rogue. Appreciate it. Got a big jump from Modern Rogue, so I appreciate everybody that's hanging out for Modern Rogue. And that's kind of what this show is for, is to help those that maybe found out about radio through that video to get some questions answered. So if you have a question, feel free to post it, and I'm happy to answer it. Ooh, this is a really good... David Primo asks, how will radiant barrier on roof decking affect an attic antenna? It will murder it. It's very bad. You don't want a radiant barrier. So radiant barriers are great, but they're horrible for an antenna that is trapped below it. In my garage, we upgraded the roof, updated the roof, and it absolutely killed the RF. So... it is a nature of the beast. Radiant barriers are really good at holding things in. They're also good at holding in the RF, so bad. All right, we got a caller.
Updated the roof, and it...
Uh-oh, you got to mute your audio, caller. What's your name?
Arthur Riddle.
Arthur Riddle.
Can you hear me?
Is it Arthur Riddle? Is that right?
Yeah. I'm in San Diego, and I bought a G5RV. And
right on.
On your recommendation, I also picked up the MFJ 993B.
Okay.
I can't seem to get it to tune.
Okay. Tell me about how you have the G5RV set up.
I have it on top of my roof, about maybe 20 feet up.
Okay.
Mo, it's about 30 feet high.
You've got a mast on top of your roof that's another 30 feet? Or you've got
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, total 30 feet.
Total 30 feet. So what is the center connector, the middle part of the antenna? What is it connected to?
It's connected to a ladder line. You mean the ladder line?
No, like physically, what's holding it to the house?
Oh, it's a wooden stake
okay.
with a line.
Okay. And then those legs, are they in an inverted V or are they horizontal?
They're horizontal into trees.
Horizontal. Oh, horizontal. Okay, horizontal is good. Now, the ladder line comes down. Is it touching the side of the house or anything metal on its way down?
No, it's touching a wooden fence.
Okay, that's good too. So then you've got that center connector at the bottom that takes the ladder line into coax, and you run the coax into your house or your shack, and then you connect it into the MFJ?
Right.
Okay. And then the MFJ connects to which radio?
I have a 706 icon.
Okay. Does the 706 interface with the MFJ 993?
Yes.
Do you have the cable that connects the two?
Yes. The
okay.
one that was supplied by MFJ.
So you did buy it. It's usually an extra cost.
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Yes.
So what happens when you're on, let me go back a step. You set the radio into AM and go on an empty frequency, and when you key up, what does the tuner say?
Well, it shows the, it's like right now I'm doing FT8.
Okay.
And it shows, like I can hear FT8 coming in.
Sure.
But when I key it up, it doesn't show the correct SWR. It should say 0.1.
No, not necessarily. What does it say?
I mean 1.0. And then forward is 1.1 and reflected is 0.
So the SWR is 1.0?
Yes.
It's working, buddy. That's
right
exactly
now.
Yes. Okay.
Because
okay.
what happened was, this is my second one, because the first one burned up.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was smoking.
Okay. All right. So the warranty worked.
Yeah.
We tested the warranty.
Does. MFJ is fantastic.
Okay. Not
they gave me a new radio.
Sometimes some funky quality people report, but their warranty is good, right? So, okay, you got a second
yes,
tuner.
The warranty's excellent.
Okay, and so
yes.
you got that second tuner, and you started transmitting FT8, and it started going grinding all the gears, and then it dropped to.
Actually, I haven't pushed the button yet because I'm it says 13 on the SWR.
Oh no, that's not good. So, which button are you pushing? The tune button on the 706?
I'm pushing the tune button on the 706 and the tune button on the 993. I
okay.
was wondering, what does the auto button do?
So, good question. I leave the auto button depressed. I do not touch the tune button on the 993, and then I hit the tune button on your radio, and that should
right.
make the tuner find a match for your antenna.
Oh, okay.
You want to try it? Now that you got me on the line?
I've tried it several times. Right now, hold on. You want me to try it?
Why not?
Okay, it clicked, and now it says everything's fine. It's the way it should be.
It says
SWR1?
But I'm afraid
to hit transmit.
point one?
Huh?
Did it say one?
I'm afraid to hit transmit.
No, I know, but
yes.
does the SWR say one?
It says 1.0.
Oh, yeah, transmit. You got my seal of approval.
Okay.
To transmit.
Because the last time I transmitted, it caught on fire.
The first time?
Yes.
No way. Really? Yeah, you got to do it. Go
so
for it.
I'm gonna push trans. See, enable transmit, and I'm on FT8.
Well, hit,
don't
hit anybody.
40
don't,
meters.
Don't hit enable transmit yet. Hit the tune button on FT8, on WSJTX. Hit the tune button.
Okay, hit the tune.
Yeah.
It's, okay, so it says the SWR is 3.0.
Okay. How much power are you putting out right now?
Normally I put out about 60 watts.
Okay. 3-to-1, I mean, I've tuned way worse things, and it brings that way down. So 3-to-1 seems a little high.
Right. I'll push tune again. Okay, it still says 3-to-1.
The tune button doesn't do what you think it does on that thing. You got to feed it a tune from the radio. Okay, do this. Leave the tuner.
Okay.
Turn the tuner. Leave the radio on. Turn the tuner off, and then the tuner back on.
Okay.
And then hit the tune button again on the WSJTX. Once it's done starting up.
You mean? Oh, okay. On WS. Okay, got it. It still says 3.2.
Hmm. Something doesn't seem right, because is the tuner clicking at all?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay, hold the tune button down.
Okay. Okay, okay. Wow, we're transmitting, and it says... I have one of those little SWR meters, and it says I'm putting out 40 watts at 1.5.
Okay, so the tuner's designed to get your SW down to 1.5. 1.1 is nice,
yeah.
It's gravy, but 1.5 is where you want to be. So go ahead, turn on transmit and see if it's still at 1.5.
Well, on the MFJ, it says 3.1.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm gonna cut this off real quick.
So do
I think that's a little high. I don't want it to start smoking again.
Do me a favor, if you've got some time, join the Discord chat after, and I can debug a little bit better there. This is gonna take a little bit more time than just a simple question on an hour Q&A.
Yeah,
is that all right?
I didn't, but thank you very much.
Well, I mean, try join the Discord, and we can talk after. It'll be live. I mean, you can talk to me.
I know. I joined your Discord, but it screwed up my computer, so...
Okay, send me an email at hoshnasi@gmail.com, and I'll work with you.
Okay, thank you, Hoshnasi.
All right, Arthur.
36ART.
What was the call? Hold on, what was the call?
W6ART.
Oh, nice. Goes with your name. Good call. All right. All right, Arthur. Send me a message. We'll talk.
Okay.
See ya.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we got another caller. Well, I want to get through all these questions, so I'm going to stick around for a while. Hey, caller, you're on.
Hello, this is KJ7EIF. The name is Corey.
Corey, what's up?
I want to know what's the best way to ground a station that is multiple stories in the air.
Oh, that's a really good question. That's really tough. So they make devices that act as an artificial ground. Some people use that. That's something you can use. The best thing you can do is try and get to AC ground through your plugs or the screw on the plug. Of course, don't shock yourself.
Sure.
Artificial ground is going to be kind of what you're going to have to do. Yeah. It's not a great solution, but it is something you can do. You can always punch a hole in the wall, look for a plumbing pipe that's metal, and just tap onto that.
Yeah,
don't do that, but yeah. You know.
You see a lot of stuff on the internet, right? And,
yep.
You know, with modern homes, a lot of the cold water pipes only connect to plastic or PVC.
Yeah.
So they don't necessarily go into the ground. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the problem with my shack being on the third floor.
You're dealing with a problem that many people have dealt with. Artificial ground is one way of dealing with that. MFJ makes one. Loyal posted that in the chat. Yeah, you can Google it. The best thing you can do is just try to get to the AC ground as best you can. And the best way to do that is, you know, connect directly to the plug if you can. There's usually a ground lug. Of course, you're probably not going to be able to, like, disconnect the power. So if you're playing around with the plugs, you're kind of possibly may shock yourself. but
I understand that. You know, I'm familiar with some of the wiring kind of stuff where if I can shut down the breaker and you know, disconnect an outlet and just isolate the ground, I could probably do that, right?
Yeah. So I am I have done this before. I have used a wire in the ground lug and connected it to my radio. The ground hole on the plug. That's not a permanent solution. The best solution is to bring the plug out, the plug fixture. Again, this would be live, and then tie onto the ground connection, and then, you know, pull that into your room or your shack.
Okay.
I think my wife is home.
Well, thanks, Jonathan.
I think I have to close the door to the shack before the kids bombard us with audio noise.
Understood.
Well,
thank you, Josh.
Give that a shot. Look into that, and then you know, feel free to reach out if that doesn't work.
No problem. And the last name is Vuelta.
Oh, it's that Corey! Wait, say it again?
Vuelta.
Vuelta. Oh, I was trying to add too much flair to that. I can do that. Vuelta. Okay, I got that. It's that Corey.
Thanks, Josh, buddy.
Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, take it easy, man. See ya. All right, I got to close the door real quick because I think my wife's home and it's going to be loud. So, wow, that was weird. I have a cat that I rescued from a neighbor when I was living in an apartment complex. That neighbor was a meth head. I would say meth head, but really he is an equal opportunity user of drugs. And he had a cat that he used drugs around, and that cat is now my cat. And that cat is crazy. And people will apparently pull their car over to hang out with my cat. It was two kids, like just a dad pulled a car over, and kids got out to play with my cat, and then got in the car and ran off. And that cat will attack you, so that's crazy. I don't know what just happened, but all right, we'll leave it at that. All right, next question. This is good, because it was trying to help. This happened today. Joe asks, how do you put a mag mount antenna on a smart car? It has no metal on it. I would like to put a mobile rig in it, but can't figure out an antenna config. I would connect it to the hood of the car. I'd use a hood lip and I'd connect it to that. That would be my recommendation. Yeah, there's no metal, very few metal, so you know, keep that in mind. And the idea that you use a magnet underneath, the problem with that is unless you're using, let me go back a step. If your antenna requires a ground connect, like a ground plane, then you need to use something on metal. If it doesn't, then yeah, you can just connect it to whatever you want. So yeah, I was. Hey Josh, I was wondering if you have ever seen a text QSO in a waterfall before. I took phone captures. You can clearly see the call sign and the sign off with 732. Images to follow this message. So yeah, this is a real thing. Ham radio. Why I just blanked on it. What is it? It's the ham radio connection app that everybody uses, that I don't use, but everybody likes. I always blank on some of these software titles. Ham Radio Deluxe. Got it before the chat, I think. We'll see. So Ham Radio Deluxe is, Ham Radio Deluxe does it, and FL Digi does it. FL Digi, I think, is the one that does it specifically. So, yeah, you can do this through FL Digi, which is literally, you can see the call sign in there and the 7-3 and all that stuff. So, Chirp does not do it. Would you, let's see, is there anything in the chat? Oh, somebody asked what headphones I wear. I don't know. I got these a long time ago. These are K240 Studios by AKG. These are not, I mean, they're fine. The plastic is broken off of them. It's just foam. So, Okay, so this is a really good one. Would you consider doing a comparison of the ICOM 5100A and the FT400DX? I'm trying to decide between the two for my first rig and can't find any reviews comparing the two. Also, do you have or can you make a video on setting up a mobile rig in a truck, i.e. the best mounting options for antennas for the great mobile setup? I'm studying for tech and hope to have it soon. Thanks for all the great information. So, I don't have a 5100A. I do have an FT400DX, which I thoroughly enjoy. As far as doing a video for setting up something in a truck, I have a SUV that's on a truck body, if that helps, and I use a lip mount connector to a bulkhead connector, and that's what I fixed the antenna to. Nothing fancy, but I can reach 40 miles away to the repeater that is on Santiago Peak from my house. So, hey, Ernest G. Wilson II, thank you very much for the super chat. I appreciate that. So I can do a video. I will do a video. Let me just say that. As far as the 5100A, I don't have much time with it. I will look into doing that, though, now that I have an option for that kind of stuff. Is Connor in the chat? Is Connor in the chat? I hope Connor's in the chat. So Connor, who we affectionately call QRO Connor. QRO stands for more power. Bump up your power. You need more power. Put more power behind it. He says, people keep asking if they need an amp. Can you explain that you don't need an amp in the stream? Yes, you don't need an amp. So for those of you starting out, and generally for a lot of people, you don't need an amp. You really don't. Connor and I have talked from California to Virginia. He's in Virginia. And it's not the greatest contact, and he's definitely pulling probably more of the weight with the amount of power he's putting out. But that doesn't mean that is a requirement to enjoy ham radio. There are certain situations based off of the goals of what you want to achieve with ham radio where you may think about adding an amp to your arsenal of radio. And that's fine. But to start out, you definitely don't need an amp. I see a lot of people who are taking amps like and connecting them to Baofengs to get 25 watts or 20 watts out. You don't need that either. Most of the time, the repeaters are close enough to you that you really don't need that much power. So consider, you know, just getting used to what you have, making the contacts that you have, and then figuring out what you need to amp up the game. I always recommend you spend money on upgrading your antenna before you upgrade to an amp, because you need to hear the stations that can hear you. In fact, it's better if you can hear more stations that can hear you in a lot of situations. So caller, hang on caller. I'm gonna pour what's likely the rest of the... Nope, I still got a little bit more. That's good for me. All right, caller, hang on. So Connor, great question. hold on, caller, hang on. Fidget McFidgetson asks, and thank you for the super chat, how do you get wife approval for antennas? Ooh, my God. You just do it, and you don't tell them. You just put it up like the hex beam, and you say, it looks like a laundry line. And then you put it up largely. You need to do it in one day. That helps a lot. When they're gone, that's a really good idea, is make sure they're away from the house, and you get up on the roof or wherever you're doing it, and you get that thing up as fast as possible. Fast as possible is important here, right? You need to have it done and be relaxing in an armchair, not on the radio, right? You need to be like separate, doing something separate, maybe washing the dishes, although you don't want to appear like you're apologetic for anything, right? And then that's how it works. So there you go. To be honest with you, you got to talk about it. You got to talk about it with them and give them an understanding of what to expect, and say you're willing to work around, you know, their expectations a bit, which is what I did. I'm joking, but yeah, you got to talk to them. Come on, they're your wife or significant other for you ladies that want a big antenna. And also, my wife has a very similar disposition as I do, that if the neighbors say anything about anything on our house or whatever, we tell them to kick rocks and pound sand, because that is that's crap. All right, great question. That was a fantastic question. All right, let's go to the chat. caller, or should I say specifically David, how are you doing?
I'm five Delta Lima Delta.
All right, get a little bit closer to the mic there. Can you hear me okay? I'm barely hearing you.
Yeah, but it is David, Kilo 5 Delta Lima Delta. I just have a question about an antenna. I've got, all I have is a tech license right now, studying for my general.
Yep.
But I've got an old Heathkit tube radio that I want to play with and listen to.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what would be a good antenna, inexpensive antenna that I could make to just listen to that rig for a while.
How much land you got to work with?
I got about 100 feet from the house to the back fence.
And then how wide is it from the back fence?
It's probably 75 feet.
Oh, yeah. Go with the half-wave end-fed antenna. So the advantage of, so how many bands does that radio work on?
It'll work on, I'm primarily interested in like 20, 40, and 80.
Okay.
A couple more, I'm not sure.
The advantage of the half wave, and you're just talking about receiving. You're not talking about like trying to get an efficient transmit antenna or anything like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
I would
go with a half wave end fed. At least to get started. And you can build those relatively easily. The balun that you'd build the whole thing out of, or un.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so that would be what I would look at. I use
all
that,
right.
So
I
use that.
Appreciate that.
Well, hold on. That chameleon. This is a half wave that will go 80 or 160 down to 6, and that's it. You just throw this up. It's 80. Now that I think about it, 80 through 6, and you just throw this up. This is about 100 feet of wire, and that's all you need. And you're doing good, and you'll be receiving no problem with that.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I appreciate that, Josh.
All right, David, take
videos,
it easy.
Man. You teach me a lot.
Well, thank you for watching. I appreciate it.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. Okay. So great, great comment from Connor and David. So I don't fully get this question, but I'll try. Ever do anything like tuning a 10 meter dipole with an analyzer or something? Zing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've absolutely done that. And a 6 meter dipole. Not much. You don't need much space to put up a 10 meter dipole, which is great. The disadvantage is 10 meters is not that great most of the time, right now. And in a couple of years, it's going to get better and better and better. And that's the reality of living in our planet with our sun. Chuck KK6USY, you're totally right. Do an inverted L. That's exactly how I use the MCOM. With the 120 something feet of wire, I love doing it that way. That's really good. You get a little bit of vertical action, shot that up high, and then kind of bring it down. Great idea. Videos by DPF. The MCOM 3 by Chameleon is a great antenna. It really is. I really like it. You don't need, so that was one of the reasons why I recommended that, is that you don't need an analyzer for that antenna. Even though he's not transmitting, you want something that is going to be a good antenna for shortwave listening, because that's, I know he said that it's 20, I think he said it was 20/40/80 or something like that, but you know, you want to get the best you can receive out of it, and so I would get that up high and then stretch it out. Great. I am looking for questions, so if anybody has questions, let me know. Ernest Wilson, you are also correct. It really depends on how high your antenna is and how high the receiving person's antenna is. Looks like he was talking about VHF, UHF, though. But hey, the same rules apply for HF. You're just going a lot further. All right. This is a good one. Ah, this is a great one. Dial-up Dan, what are some portable HF antenna solutions for those of us that are stuck in apartments that may have to go to parks or beaches to operate, especially with budget QRP rigs that are starting to make their way on the market? So, you know, I see it all the time. I was jokingly, what was I talking about? I jokingly implied that the MagLoop antenna, the portable MagLoop antenna, is the vacationer's antenna, because I've seen more pictures of MagLoops setting up on on balconies overlooking beautiful landscapes than any other antenna that's ever been made. And they're generally right. Magloops, you know, they stand not too tall, and they work off the balcony, and they're... What's nice about the Magloop is they're pointable. They're pointable on the receive side. They're more of a... directional when it comes to its receive capability, which is great. So you can kind of tune it with its rotation. Transmit, not so much. But for apartments, there is a thing that MFJ makes that will strap onto the side of a railing. It is a metal coil with a aerial. A lot of people use that. You will need a ground line or a ground radial, and that can be difficult. That can be problematic when it comes to doing an apartment antenna. That's a lot of the problem with it. But not to fear, you can run a dipole kind of like that. You have a wire antenna going up, a physical aerial, with just a limp wire hanging down. And it would be kind of a vertical configuration. You can do that. Also, I have just thrown wire out of the balcony of a hotel I've stayed in, had the other wire draped inside my apartment or hotel/apartment, and I've been able to tune that up and been able to receive, not make many contacts with it, but you can do it. So, that's what, got a lot of questions here. Let's go through there. SC Flower says, "Hey Josh, like your videos, first time streaming. Have you heard of anyone doing EME, Earth, Moon, Earth, or Moon Bounce, on the 2-meter band? How much power does the transceiver need to output?" Yes, and the more power, the better. You're going to need a multi-element beam to be able to do EME with it. But yes, there are plenty of people that do that, people that are smarter than me and more specifically know about that topic. So I would start out with Google, not necessarily a YouTube video. There's not a lot of EME channels out there from my understanding. Maybe Eric might start doing that because now that he's got the 9700. The 9700 is going to be a good radio for EME and satellites in general. But yeah, your mileage will vary on that one. Let's see. VHF frequencies are really based on line of sight. Yes, correct. Ooh. Rob, KE8HWD, asks recommendations for a cheap antenna analyzer, even kit. I don't know enough about this area. I will, you know what? No, I've got something I want to show you. Okay, yes, okay, I do have something I want to show you. I discovered this, the Rig Expert Stick AA Stick, as it's called. Look at this thing. I want this real bad, real bad. It goes from 0.06 to 35 megahertz, and look how tiny it is. That's next to a quarter, my friends. I have no idea how much this will cost, but considering how light I travel, this is beautiful. It runs off of, what is that, 118650? Is that what the battery it runs off of? 20 amp hour, milliamp, yeah. So I'm a big fan on that one. Oh, this is the wrong chat room. I did miss one. There you go. Yeah, so there you go. The Rig Expert Stick. I don't know what to expect for price, but I would look into one of those. If you can't get a Rig Expert, I'm a big fan of Rig Expert. Nothing against the MFJs, but I really like the Rig Experts. So let's go back there. Somebody asked, do you have a preferred way to bring coax through your exterior wall into the house and seal it up? Yeah, steel wool. I like to do steel wool. So you bring it through. If you have some kind of grommets you can use for weatherproofing, use those. But if you're just kind of doing it, steel wool is great because insects and rodents generally can't deal with steel wool. So I use steel wool, and then you can coat it with some kind of exterior sealant, like an epoxy or silicone. That's the word I'm looking for. And there you go. Okay, I'm a newbie ignoramus, and I plan to explode in my efforts to learn to start a live in apartment complex. What hurdles? Yeah, Steven, you might have come a little bit later, so you're going to deal with the ground problems connecting to an RF ground, potentially, not necessarily the worst, but you'll also have to deal with antenna solutions, and so I talked a little bit about that earlier. Yeah, definitely add some caulking to the water. You need weatherproofing. What will you use the Rig Expert stick do? Oh, it's basically an HF antenna analyzer. So if you're out in the field, you can just plug that into it and you'll get a full sweep of the SWR, which is perfect. Donald E. Digidio. Is it Digidio? Digidio? Digidio or Digidio? Hopefully I'm saying that. Hopefully I'm not butchering your name. I apologize. He says brass wool is better. Don't rust unless stainless wool. Yeah, so great. If you can get brass wool, go ahead. I mean, go to a machine shop. Hopefully someone is turning brass and you can just collect up the shavings and use that. I'm sure they make brass wool, but you can probably get it on Amazon now, I think about it. Radio weak signal work. Right on. Hey Josh, it's Pat. Did a presentation on Tom's show on 2 meter EME. Here is my site, and there is a PowerPoint there. Hopefully, this is okay to post. 7.3. So that might have got blocked. Somebody, you can go ahead and let that through. We'll figure it out. But if you look up, actually, go to his. Did you post it on your channel? I hope you posted it on your channel. So Pat did a really great presentation on. Actually, now that I want to take it all back now. Yeah, Tom, of course, has had plenty of smart people on his channel, and I apologize that I haven't been on the show for a while. I've been really busy with my work, my literal work, not my fun YouTube work. And so, yeah, Pat is one of the guys who does a really great couple of great presentations that I've watched on EME. So I apologize. Go check out W5KUB. He's on YouTube, and Pat has a couple of videos on there that is working weak signals on EME and other things. So definitely check that out. Well, we're running out of time here, so let's see if we can get through some more. Nope, I'm screwing up again. Hold on. There we go. So this is one that plagues a lot of people, and I'll just cover this really quickly. Can you help me? I have a question. Let me explain. I purchased a Baofeng radio from a company called Alibaba.com. They did not send me what I ordered. Instead, I got a Baofeng BF-F8. This is not the plus. It is supposed to be 5 watts. The tag on the battery says BF-F8, and the tag on the radio says BF-F8. Okay. I have looked online and cannot find anything for the BF. Okay, anyway. Basically, you got a counterfeit radio. And I feel for everybody that gets in that situation. Oh, Zach got it. Thank you, Zach, for the weaksignalwork.com. Appreciate that. The problem, though, is there is a ton of Chinese websites that will send you complete counterfeit garbage. And what I mean by complete counterfeit garbage is it's basically a UV5R, which is a 5-watt/4-watt more realistic radio that they say is an 8-watt radio. All they're doing is they're taking the UV5R and running the firmware from the BFF8 on that radio, if that at all, or just putting the plastic on it and pretending it's a BFF8 HP, which is an 8-watt transmit capable radio. To be honest with you, those 3 more watts don't buy you a lot, so you're not out that much, except for a UV5R is like $23 on Amazon, which is a hard price to beat. So I would just rather recommend everybody just go buy a UV5R, and if you want to upgrade to a BFF8, it's $65, which is not cheap, but through Amazon, you're going through BTEC. I think that's it, BTEC, and they generally, they're an American company, they do a really good warranty, so stick with them. Don't go through Alibaba or Wish or any of those Chinese companies. Please don't when it comes to radios. You can play around with other stuff, but don't do that with radios. Because I get a ton of people that contact me saying they got a counterfeit. Is there a simple solution for better tuned antennas? Can you cut down your antennas? Is this not really an issue for Australians and other regions running on the upper UHF bands? Yes, you should always cut your antennas to be tuned for the frequencies you want to transmit on. Also, if it is a broadbanded antenna, that tune spot might be good for the entire band. But if you're on 80, likely not going to be perfect throughout the entire band. That is a bit of a higher advanced discussion that we will have. So let's keep going. Hi, I stumbled on your YouTube page earlier today researching ham radios, looking for something to keep my in my overland truck for when Cell and GMRS aren't practical. Wondering what you would recommend. I would get a license, but would only use in an emergency. So, generally, most VHF, UHF amateur radios are going to be fine for that application. There are, I don't know the answer to this, and I'll throw this to the chat room. Are there really any mobiles that will allow you to run out-of-band transmissions? I know that's kind of a no-no to the FCC, but we're talking about an emergency in this situation. I myself, I like the FTM 400 in my car. It's a great radio, which I've reviewed. But yeah, the TYT 9800 is what I have. Zach's posting that in the chat. I can't transmit out a band on that radio. It doesn't let you do that. At least I haven't hacked it or programmed it in a way that lets me do it. But as of right now, I can't do that. Somebody's asking about Wolf River coils. I don't want to talk about that. Okay, SC Flowers asked a really good question. He says, I've heard good things about the super antenna, but for the price, it seems that the Wolf River coil antenna might be the better option. Haven't owned either, so only an observation. I highly recommend the Wolf River. Where is my Wolf River? I've got it around here somewhere. I have the T1000. Is it the T1000 Silver Bullet? Great, great antenna. I've paired it, so I've used the stock aerial that comes with the antenna, and I've also used the MFJ aerial that they use on things like the Big Ears and other antennas. Both great. The MFJ gets a bit of the nod because it's much longer. The problem with that is it gets a lot of top heavy. So if you've got the silver, the Wolf River with the tripod, you will have to account for that with it being so top heavy. A big fan of the Wolf River. It's so inexpensive and it's great. The only downside is the aerials. Or sorry, the radials. The radials, you got to get them out. You got to get them flat. If you can elevate them a little bit with like a tent stake, good. Plastic Radio says, "Hey Josh, so you mainly do reviews on handhelds?" Not at all. Not at all. Go check out some of my other videos. I've done a bunch of videos on this 7300 right there. I have an FT, what's the one that just came out? FT100 that I did a review on, and just a ton of stuff. Anyway, way more than handhelds. Hey Josh, I would like to build an emergency go box, not too expensive, and would like to know if you recommend buying a used Motorola commercial radio or something similar. So, I like Motorola equipment, but they're kind of hard to program if you don't know how to do it yourself, and sometimes they're not the most band agile or frequency agile, in that I want to be over here on some UHF frequency that's not on the radio, and you have to reprogram to do it. It's one of those like program it radios that doesn't have a lot of VFO, variable frequency oscillator, the ability to control and jump around frequencies. You don't really have that with the Motorolas. Some do. Don't scream at me. Some do. But I'm a big fan of Motorola for the structure, the quality, but not a big fan for the price and the difficulty to program. Woody, are there any good HF transceivers under $500? Yeah, there's a ton, and they're used. So you will need to look for used radios. The 706 Mark II is one that, the ICOM 706 Mark II is one that comes to mind that you may be able to get for under $500. The prices are going up on that, though, because it's kind of become like a hipster radio that people want to get and keep. There are other radios out there that are under $500, and I suggest you look for used. The Hivizi says, saw you on the Modern Rogue. Cool crossover collab. Yes, I thoroughly enjoyed hanging out with those guys. That was an amazing day. Man, I was with I was with Jason from noon until almost 9 o'clock. Jason was the first he was the first person there, and I think the last person to leave, maybe. Maybe it was Brian. Anyway, spent a long time with all those guys. It was a lot of fun. Chris Rillsmiller says, fun question. For super light soda, think it's possible to use a 6-meter capable handheld and a smartphone running FT8? The problem is there's not really a lot of handhelds that run 6 meters. The Yaesu video that I did a month ago about, we talked about, what is it, the VX81? Somebody will correct me in the chat, but there is a now discontinued Yaesu radio that you're no longer available that does 6 meters and 10 meters. So make sure to check that out. But yeah, I don't know. 706 Mark IIG. Oh, yeah. Arthur Riddle says, get the 706 Mark IIG is still supported by ICOM. Yes, get that. I did not see the collab with Demo Ranch and Donut Operator. That's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Running. Oh, we got a caller. Who said caller? Everybody says that's going to be a drinking game. Every time you have to tell me that there's a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead. Who's there?
Hi, this is Ernest W3TCP. I'd like to know if you had to build an HF kit, a complete kit for a new person on a budget, start to finish, what are all the components that you would build or put in the kit? And bearing in mind that you need to get a completely working HF kit for really low money. I'd like to hear what a starter kit would look like for a brand new general. I'm not one, but I get this question all the time, and I have a hard time answering it.
Like,
thank you. That's my question.
No, hang on the line. I'm going to ask a clarifying question. So you're talking about like a kit, like they're going to build it and solder it? Or you're talking about like
store-bought? You're a new ham. Yeah. Here's the question, right? So new technicians, they run out and they get a 2-meter 440 walkie-talkie of some kind, and that's easy to get started. Mm-hmm. Now you reach your general, right?
Okay.
And someone wants to get started in HF, and the first thing they ask is, do I need all the way, can I do 160, meters to 10 meters?
Mm-hmm.
When I say a kit, I mean whatever. Like, what would you purchase? Not necessarily build, but something as a starter, right? And it doesn't have to be mobile, or it could be for the car or the house, but you're a brand new ham, and you want to get into HF.
Yes.
And you have enough money to buy, let's say, one rig, one antenna, a power supply, a tuner. What's a kit? What is a starting radio for a new general in the HF world?
So somebody already mentioned it. Daniel Holmes mentioned it. I made a video called The $1,000 Ham Shack, and I think I went through 10 different options on all kinds of different ham shacks, and it's not necessarily ham shack in a traditional sense like we have, like I have right here in front of me, like a satellite operator, all kinds of different situations, and I called it the budget $1,000 Ham Shack. And this actually goes along with the question that we've got in display right now. I'll actually copy the link right now. And
all right, thank you. I didn't know you already had a video. I will definitely check that out. This is a common question. I mean, it's hard to get started in HF.
Oh yeah.
And I think if we had entry level, things that we could send people to and tell them, here's a good starter. Now, I realize that's subjective, right? Because what does that, what does HF mean? Different things to different folks, right?
Right.
I would say, when I say brand new, I'm always thinking of someone that's, wants single sideband, they want to talk voice, they want to talk long distance, they want to get their feet wet in HF.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking. So, thank you.
So go check that video out and send me a message. Let me know what you think or post in the comments. Message is the fastest way. You can hit me at hoshnasi@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. I believe I've got the the FT450 from Yaesu in there. And then, of course, I talk about used radios, and I even get into working the FM satellites, because that's really expensive when you start breaking it down. And I even talk about QRP, too, because there's a ton... there's a ton of QRP radios out there that are under $1,000, including all the things. And that $1,000 mark was for antenna, the radio, and all the accoutrement that you would need to make it work. I factored that all in.
Now you're talking. Thank you very much, and thanks for hosting this show. All right,
yeah, man,
I'm going to drop off. Thank you.
Hey, take it easy. See ya. Well, I love it when people call and I can plug a video that I've already made in it. Because, you know, that was... I really like doing that video. So if you haven't watched that, I'll try and remind myself to post it. I should really keep more notes when I'm doing these. I really should. That was a really good video. I really enjoyed doing that. That was fun. All right. How do you know if you have ground rods properly set, i.e. your ground rods do not have high impedance? So that was my reply to this comment. I'm joking, of course. So the reality is if you have your ground rods properly set, they're going all the way in the ground. It's if you have a proper copper clad or fully copper, which is likely unlikely. Okay, let that sink in. You basically, if you've got it all the way in the ground, you're probably good. And what you're doing with that is it can work as one of two functions. It can act as a lightning arrestor, right? Giving a path for lightning to get into the ground instead of going through your precious, precious electronic components. Or giving you a source to connect to an AC ground for your radio equipment. So really... You jokingly don't know until you get struck by lightning. That's for antennas, but don't listen to that. You can know explicitly if you go look at my video with the AC ground thing. If you have a good path to a ground, and by that I mean a good ground rod, hopefully closer to your radio than further away, you will take out a bunch of noise, particularly if you've got a lot of noise in the ground loops. Evan says, first time to catch this live, the FT2DR APRS videos. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So Chris Cole adds to this, is grounding needed for a home shack? If so, what benefits are there? So the benefits are you suck all that AF, or that RFI that's outside on the coax, you suck that out and it goes into the ground. I don't know if scientifically that's what's happening. I think that's what's happening, but that's generally what you're doing. You're trying to take your, let's see, we've got my... So, hold on. This is a DX station. I've got about an S1 to 2 noise floor, and I can just come in here and pop that down a little bit. So that's going to drop your noise floor. If you drop your noise floor, you're going to be able to pick up stations that are lower in the noise, your S1s, your S2s, your S3s. If your noise floor is an S4, then the noise, all the ambient electrical crap that you've got going on around you, is murdering those signals that your antenna would normally be able to hear. And if you want a... Zach, take it easy, buddy. Thank you for all the support. Very much appreciate it. If you want an example of that, I have a video on a blackout. There was a blackout that happened really late at night. All the power within a couple miles of me went out. And I went batteries on with the radio, and I was picking up S0 stations, and they were perfectly audible. It was just crystal clear beauty, just beautiful. I cannot go watch the video, and it's literally, I was recording when the power came back on, and you just watched it went like this, and then all the noise killed it. Radio is everywhere around you. The bands aren't dead, as we all like to say. The bands are not dead. It's the noise floor. It's not really the lack of people out there, even. It's just purely the noise floor. Just that, just garbage, man. Yeah, blackouts are awesome. I welcome the Armageddon. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. This is a tough one. This almost deserves its own video. Which inexpensive equipment is worth buying and what is junk? I kind of already covered it in the shack. I should have thought about that when I was talking about the ham shack stuff. Yeah, Frosty, I love the question. It almost deserves its own video. And we're getting late here, so I'm gonna skip ahead. Sorry, Frosty. Come to the Discord chat. You can yell at me. Okay, we're gonna make this quick because this is a really good one. Question for tonight. I am super new, and it seems all the things I want to get into require different radios. So maybe a rundown of what entry radios are needed to scan local police, fire, emergency services, listen to highway and traffic into wrecks via truckers or DOT state police, talk to a buddy a state away, talk to the ISS. So I can get you there with three radios, I think. The first, get an SDR. That allows you to scan for police, and by scan means jump to a specific frequency. If you wanted to do trunking, you would need two SDRs to do trunking, right? Software that specifically does trunking or helps your computer jump between the two SDRs to make the connections for trunking. To scan for local police, emergency, and services, yep, SDRs are great. Listen to highway and traffic info wrecks via truckers, so I'm assuming they mean CB, or DOT or state police, meaning you got to have a pretty wide-banded spread, not spread spectrum, but wide-banded receiver. An SDR, again, fills that role. Listen, talk to a buddy a state away. So I don't know where your state is, but I'm thinking California, and a buddy of mine that would be a state away would be hundreds of miles away. I'm basically looking at HF. For that, you're going to need an HF radio. I would recommend a 100-watt radio, generally somewhere in the line of an FT-891 by Yaesu. No tuner. If you wanted a tuner, you could step up to an FT-450. There's plenty of ICOMs and plenty of Kenwoods that are on the market, though, that are used that I would also take a look at. The 7200 is a surprisingly good radio. 7200, 7100, would all be good ICOM radios to take a look at. And then talk to the ISS. Well, talking to the ISS, that's a whole different radio. Again, you're going to need a UHF, VHF radio to work that successfully. Talking to is generally probably going to be along the lines of APRS. So that would require you get something like a Yaesu FT2DR or wait for the new FT3DR that's coming out, which does APRS. You will need an antenna to efficiently work any satellite, including the ISS. And I generally am using the Aero antenna. And the Aero antenna is available online and gives you dual band VHF, UHF capability. If you have a radio like a Kenwood D72, that is a full duplex radio that will allow you to work both bands, both A and B channels simultaneously for receive and whatnot. So I'm a big fan of that. Yeah. Okay. This is a great question. Really good question. I think I'm going to wrap it up with this because we're getting a little long. What are some fun and easy cheap projects for a new ham, like a tape measure Yagi or a ground plane? So tape measure Yagi is great, which is a beam antenna that you use for VHF, UHF. For VHF, UHF, I would also recommend making a ground plane antenna using a basically a fixed flush mount. It's not a bulkhead. They call it something else. Basically, the flat SO259 PL259 connector. And you just take those screw holes and you make wires come off the side of it, like coat hangers or welding rod, and then you build a vertical off the center post. Great little antenna project. Or a J-pole out of copper plumbing. Totally recommend that. For someone that's going into HF, a really great two great projects. Make yourself a 1-to-1 Balun, make yourself a 9-to-1 Un-Un. There you go. That would be great projects. That's what I would recommend. Okay. Whew. That was an hour and a half of talking. So I appreciate everybody that called in. We had a record number of call-ins today. That was awesome. This has been a lot of fun. We're going to do some more just call-ins. Maybe we'll make it its own day where we just do call-ins and we'll leave Fridays to its own little thing. Who knows? The sky's the limit. Guys, if you appreciate what I'm doing and would like to support me, even a dollar means a lot. Go check me out on Patreon. The link is in the description. There's plenty of other ways to support us. Or don't worry about that at all. And just join us on Facebook and Discord. That I care about more than anything. Making a community of people that is welcoming and is supportive and doesn't give you a hard time for asking a simple question. That's what we're trying to do. And that's actually what most of the YouTubers are. I've got Jason, I've got KM8MRD stuff, K8MRD stuff was already in the chat. There's a bunch of other YouTubers that just came in the chat. There he is, right there, K8MRD stuff. There's a plenty, tons of other friends that I have on YouTube that are all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to create a great environment for people to enjoy radio. So join us all. Follow us on Facebook and all the other things we do. I am going to Discord right now to have a bit of a chat, a bit of a lull for everybody. And yeah, I hope you come along with me. And yeah, I am Josh, KI6NAZ. Please subscribe if you haven't. Take it easy. I almost forgot, and I can't forget. Never forget. Is it going? Do I still have it? Let's see. It's still going. I don't know if people are still there. Hopefully everybody still sees this. Hopefully YouTube will sort this out. But I have to say thank you to the patrons. I stepped away for a second. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize to all of you. So big thank you to the producers, the producer level on Patreon that helps make a big portion of this all work. Chris Ebert, Carrie Blackwell, Jason Brown, Jason Siebert, David Dansereau, Danny Miller, Westland Magyar, Barbara Schrock, a new subscriber, Franklin Lewis, Brad Snyder, Dennis Dunderdale, Garrett Larson, Jonathan Franson, AD6DM Dennis, the Wyoming Ham, Randall Hinsley, Dennis Mickelson, oh boy, hold on, I already know where I'm going with this, I've got to get ready. Oh, I shouldn't. Dennis Mickelson, George Guyini, Andy, Kenny Miyamoto, Ron Thorson, Kenny Ham, Corey Vuelta. See, I'm always trying to... Why do I do that? Why am I the white guy that tries to add an accent? Never do that. Devin B. Hedge, Mark Chase, I want the fajitas. Raymond Cracker, Geraldo Kelso, KE8HWD, Rob. Thank you, buddy, for hopping on the stream. Thomas Strickland, Rick Van Horn, Corey Sheldon, Brad Nadal, Stephen Hunt, Ronald White, Brian Noskowitz, and the Brew Crew. Again, look forward to a bunch of beer reviews that I'm going to drop that I've been hoarding. I've got bottles everywhere that I need to get out of here because I've been lazy. I apologize, but we'll get it out to you guys. Thanks so much again. Now I'm actually calling it a night. Well, kind of. I'm going to Discord. Hope you follow me. Won't you?